Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for the show. Today's guest is an example of what can be achieved at any age. With the growth of the internet, we are now able to operate our business from anywhere, any country. I find it absolutely fascinating that we can now move countries and have an international business. So I'm very excited to be talking to our guest today. Back again for another really interesting show. And today my guest is Naomi Kolb, and she is an executive lifestyle coach and facilitator of transformation. And welcome to the show, Naomi.
Thank you, Anne. It's a privilege to be here.
I usually start off by asking my guests if they want to give us a bit of a brief background leading up to where you are or where you were before you moved away out of the United States.
Okay, well, it's been a long life, and I'm almost 70 in August, so I'll just give you the broad strokes, okay?
All right.
I started out in upstate New York in a small town, the daughter of a dentist, went to NYU, and it was the 60s, and I quickly caught the bug that the status quo was not working, and we had the opportunity at that time to change the world, we all thought. So I started my journey on the road less traveled to change the world and change myself into who knows what, but something better than post-World War II Ozzie and Harriet reality, Hollywood reality. So I've been on that path really my whole adult life. I think that about sums it up. Does that make sense?
Sort of. We probably need slightly a bit more detail, but you've actually had a huge transformation personally.
What? Yes, exactly. I sought out teachers, experiences, workshops, plant medicines, whatever came my way that looked promising to shift my view of reality and my view of how I could become a leader in making change that would allow for a more co-creative, peaceful, and fun world than the one I was born into. Is that better?
Yes, okay. And you changed your career, and this enabled you to change your life. So would you like to explain what you undertook before you were able to have a big shift in your life and where you live?
Yeah, I'll share like the largest portions of my career. The first 5 years, I was a dental hygienist cleaning teeth on Fifth Avenue in Central Park South in New York City with some celebrity clients. And that was pretty boring after 5 years. I left there and transitioned into becoming a Kundalini yogi, living in community with other people practicing Kundalini yoga at 4:30 in the morning every morning for 7 years. After a while, I felt too isolated from community, which is a high value for me, and emerged from there and transitioned again to become a tech recruiter, finding talent for Silicon Valley during the boom period of all those startups that crashed in 2001, 2002. So then I just did whatever I could to fund my transformational habit, started leading my own workshops, and eventually took that training to become an executive lifestyle coach before I left for Costa Rica in 2011.
That's a big shift.
Yeah, a big shift.
What were you doing just before you left? I mean, what made you want to leave America?
Well, at that time, I was living in a residential hotel in a landmark building that had become dilapidated, I would say, in downtown San Francisco on Sutter Street. And I was staffing the midnight security and reception desk and was party to the terrible way that people were aging in the U.S. The people there were still ambulatory and semi-independent living. There were some nurses that came in and out, but mostly people there were planting themselves in front of the TV, terribly arthritic, on a lot of medication, zombied out. They were not often treated with respect and virtually invisible. If they should venture out into the street, people would just look past them. I didn't want to become that person. So when I left, I was already in my 60s and was looking forward to my future and knew that I wanted to be in a warm climate near my food source because I could sort of see the system collapsing. And I knew I would feel safer if I was in a semi-tropical climate near whole organic food in a culture that had more respect for older people and where my dollars would go further.
Uh-huh. And how is it working out for you? I believe you've ended up in Costa Rica. Would you mind telling us a bit about where you are and what it's like living there now?
Yes, I'm in Costa Rica, which is in Central America. I'm actually in the Central Valley of Costa Rica, which has a very temperate climate, around 70. So the experience of living here is basically when you open the front door and go outside, the temperature is about the same as inside. So the temperature doesn't change much over the year. Although there is a rainy season, which virtually means that you can pretty much count on the morning being very sunny, where you can get all your errands done. It'll be dry and clear skies. And then around noon, the clouds move in, and around 1 o'clock, it pours cats and dogs. So you become very strategic in getting your errands done in the morning and justified in taking a little nap around one. And then the evening is clear, so you're free to venture out and do whatever evening activity you have planned. The people are warm and friendly. When you meet a new person, you don't shake hands, you hug. And there are people still making eye contact on the street as soon as you move out of the busier sections of the capital, even in the more residential sections of the capital, and definitely anywhere outside the capital, people greet each other. They say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and mean it, and smile, and look you in the eye, and connect. So there's an experience of community. People remember your name. It reminds me of where I grew up in Glens Falls, I was born in 1947, and people... Everyone knew each other and remembered your favorite things and knew your relatives or where you lived. At that time, I hated it, so I escaped New York City for anonymity so that I could get away with being more free as a youngster. But now I really appreciate the feeling of having people around and being a known person and knowing others, I'm going to say, it feels really good.
What's the name of the city and how big is it? And is there a very big expat population there?
I live in San Jose, Costa Rica, and specifically in the Granadilla region of San Jose, which is a huge city. I actually don't know the population, have to look that up. But here's the thing, I have to admit, I don't see a lot of expats in my regular life. I seem to be attracted to and relate with professional people who are from Costa Rica, who are bilingual, and I live in an area where very few people speak English except my landlords. And I live with them because I find them more genuine, I'm going to say. They're not acting a part. They're not positioning themselves to be better than or feeling apologetic about being one down. We're just humans. And that is my core value, is being with people like that. I do see expats at the Saturday market, which is the touchstone of my week. I spend my whole morning there because it's a community of itself. People that are well-educated are the vendors there, mostly owning their own farms, growing organic produce, and making organic products like honey and various facial products and things like that. And they are all on the, I'm going to say, permaculture bandwagon. How to live sustainably and farm sustainably. And that's who I am. So I feel very much at home at that market. And that's how I found the place where I live. That's how I connected with plant medicines. That's how I have a social life and friends here, is through the market.
That's really interesting. How long has the organic farming and the vegetables and natural food been a big part of your life?
Well, that's been happening since I was 21. When I started practicing yoga, because in those days, dental hygienists, as you may remember, did not sit down. They were standing up and twisting and leaning over their patients with sharp instruments in their hand, which caused a lot of tension throughout the spine. And my back started to hurt when I was 21. And so someone suggested I check out yoga. And as soon as I began practicing yoga, I found that my body was quite stiff from 21 years of not practicing stretching and being flexible. So at that point, my yoga teacher suggested that I begin, you know, seeing how my body felt as an experiment without red meat. And I found that I was more flexible, able to do the postures, which I really wanted to do. And so I gradually began refining my diet at that point on an empirical level. And in this last year, have become vegan.
That's interesting. I've got one of them in my family. My daughter's been vegan for a few years now. And I'm trying to educate myself on the benefits of eating a more vegetable-based, plant-vegetable-based diet myself, because I've spent too many years sitting around in front of a computer. A lot of us seem to end up with a less physical active life than we did when we were younger. And that's my challenge going forward.
Yes, many, many people are in the same boat. And I myself, if I can't stop, if I take a break, I'm in trouble. So I actually have hired a personal coach. And this little guy comes out on his motorcycle to my area. I live right across from the soccer field and the public gym. I'm going to just say an aside here. One of the wonderful things about Costa Rica is that every neighborhood has its public gym area, a sheltered area, and also a soccer field next to it, where they have all kinds of equipment, you know, steps and mats for Pilates and all kinds of free classes that are funded by the government here. but I hire a private coach so that he's attentive to my particular needs. And my cost is $10 for a half hour session twice a week.
Wow. That's amazing.
Isn't it? You know, it's $10 per session. Excuse me. Yeah. And, you know, he's professional. He's certified personal coach. I found him by walking into a regular gym and asking if there was someone who was a coach there. And he speaks English. So I just, you know, the cost of living here is so much less. I had all of my mercury fillings replaced for $60 a tooth. It gives you an idea, right? I go to the Saturday market and get all of my organic fruits and vegetables for, you know, under $50. Wow. And that's really what I eat for the week. Yeah.
Yeah. And the healthcare, I suppose, that's good as well.
Yes. If once I have my permanent residency, which I don't quite have yet, it will be extremely inexpensive. I will be part of the system here. And I think you pay into the system maybe a couple hundred dollars a year into the CAHA, and then you're all set. You can go into the place and there's no copay. They just take care of you. But if you go in even as a, you know, an outpatient to one of the, like Clinica Biblica, one of the major hospitals, it probably won't cost you more than $150 for anything, for any particular going in and getting the prescription if you needed one.
Right, I see. If you're not a permanent resident there, what are you?
Right at this moment, I'm a temporary resident.
Temporary.
Yeah. If people want to come down for an exploratory, they can come down for a 90-day visa. You don't have to apply in advance. You can just show up and they stamp you your passport when you show up at the airport. And then you have 90 days and you have to show some form of exit purchase. Like it could even be a bus onward to another country like Panama or something. But if you want a temporary residency card, you could do that or you can apply for a permanent residency. I have a note on my Facebook page in the Facebook notes that says why I moved to Costa Rica. And at the bottom of it, you can find a plethora, lots of resources, including my lawyer's name and contact information. I myself have only had to cross the border a couple of times when I first came here in 2011. And since then have been able to keep this temporary residency status. And she has helped me to avoid that inconvenience.
All right. That sounds wonderful. Can we just talk now a little bit about what you do? Because of what you do, I assume that there's good internet there where you live and you now have a job where you can work from anywhere.
Yes, it's really wonderful. I'm so grateful that I took the executive coaching training that I did in 2010 because I can just hop on the internet and help people all over the world to live a life that they love instead of being on some treadmill where they really feel stressed, are starting to suffer from stress-related disease, have their focus primarily on money and survival, no matter what the first world lifestyle has gotten old for so many people, and they're ready for change. And I'm here if they're ready for change, to come back to a life where they feel more relaxed, where their health is optimal, and money is not their focus, but relationships.
I see. And you are also a facilitator of transformation.
Yes. I find that many people are also caught in a world we all create our world in my estimation. And most people are caught in a world they've been conditioned to by culture where they're constantly competing and stressed out. And if they work with me, either in the format of this workshop that I offer one-on-one now or in a group, or if they do an intensive day with me, their view of who they are in the world and who other people are shifts dramatically. And they find themselves a leader of safety, belonging, and unconditional love as they enter back into the world. So many people think they're going to get there through meditation in isolation with their eyes closed. But as soon as they open their eyes, find themselves, quote unquote, triggered or reactivated or upset by the presence of others. My work allows people to practice presence with their eyes open and make this radical shift to ease and therefore grace. And it is my extreme privilege and joy to offer that work.
Mm-hmm. Sounds wonderful. What do you call the program you offer?
Well, the program is called The Freedom to Ask.
And how do people find out more about it and make contact with you? What is the best way?
Well, the very best way is in a private Facebook message. Thanks for asking. So that we can explore what in their life is challenging for them that, and if I am the accurate provider, and also for me to sort of feel out whether I feel I can help them. So we would schedule a Skype or a Zoom or even a Facebook video chat, whatever is platform works for them, and spend as much time as we need to determine if now is the right time for us to be working together.
Mm-hmm. So they can just find you on Facebook as NAOMICOLB. That's all they have to look for?
Yep, that's all they have to look for.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for chatting to me today. I'm sure my listeners will find this episode fascinating. It's wonderful and very encouraging and just fascinating that you have made such a shift. I mean, like physically and just for yourself, your own well-being, and that you've taken yourself to another part of the world and you've ended up extremely happy where you are.
Indeed. I thank our one creator of us all to have been guided to this point in time and this place and these people. Thank you for letting me share my joy with others here.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.